Welcome back. 4:15, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Tuesday afternoon, I'm delighted to welcome Dan Daly back to the program, Washington Times sports columnist. He's got a piece in today's Washington Times entitled, Finally, Redskins Quarterback Depth is a Strength Because of Kirk Cousins. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be with you, Andy.
Hey, good to have you on the program. This is an exciting time for the Washington Redskins. We actually have two quarterbacks that know how to throw the ball and kind of run with it, too.
It's almost disorienting, isn't it?
It really
but,
is.
Know, it's got to be a good feeling for fans. I mean, they've waded through so many disappointing seasons, and the reason those seasons were disappointing many times was because the quarterback play just wasn't where it needs to be successful. And, you know, now they've got a situation where they've got Robert Griffin III, who's the second-ranked quarterback in the league right now in passer rating, and they've got a guy behind him who's shown that if RG3 can't make it out on the field some Sunday, you can still win a game with me.
Yeah. You know, I guess, and I guess I'm one of them, I'm guilty of this, I sort of thought of Cousins, even though I had seen him a little bit in preseason, I kind of thought of him as the next Rex Grossman, and that's obviously wrong.
Well, Rex wasn't a bad quarterback himself when he came into the league, but then they started putting screws in his ankle.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Don't forget that. You know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons these backup quarterbacks are so vital, because a lot of these starters end up with screws in their ankle.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, Cousins was a well-regarded quarterback coming out of Michigan State. A lot of people thought he might go higher, including himself. He thought he was at least a second-round pick, I think. But what happens in the NFL nowadays with quarterbacks is that if teams don't feel like a guy can start right away, he has a tendency to drop out of the first round. And there's no telling how far he'll drop. And that's kind of what happened to Kirk, I think. I don't think there were enough teams who were looking for quarterbacks who felt we can throw this guy out there right away and be a better team for it. And so he was still around in the fourth round when the Redskins were saying, you know, we don't necessarily need a second quarterback in this draft, but this guy's too good to pass up.
Yeah. All right. Now, if he's too good, doesn't that in and of itself present a problem? Some team could yank him away, you know, dangling a starting position in front of him?
Well, not this early in his career. I mean, in the NFL, the way the free agency system works, the Redskins will have control over him for, you know, a good 3 years or so, maybe even four, before he's got an option to leave. And the thing is, you know, they can put these salary tenders on him after a couple of years, where even though he might be a free agent, teams would have to give up draft picks to sign him. He would be restricted, and that would give some teams pause. It would depend on how good they really felt he was. I mean, if they had to give up a first-round pick for him, they might feel that it was worth it. Other teams might balk at it and might want to wait until he becomes a total free agent before they get into the bidding for him.
I gotcha. All right, but it is nice not to have to throw in the towel, if you will, when the backup enters the game. Man, I'm almost relieved by all of this.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're not just talking about a guy who's one of these typical NFL backups, which is a guy who's been in the league several years, may even have been a starter somewhere else, and is very well versed in how things work. He may have his physical limitations, but he knows how to play the position. I mean, this is a kid who's, you know, as new to the pro game as RG3 is, and both he and Robert have been tremendously effective for rookies right off the bat.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the game on Sunday, if we can, for a second. Who goes Sunday? Is it RG3 or is it Kirk Cousins?
Well, from the sound of things, it's going to be RG3 as long as they feel like he can't do any more damage to himself. I mean, the thing about Sunday's game was, had it been a postseason game, I think you would have seen him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the team would have listened to the doctors, but they would have also listened to Robert, and Robert was saying, I can play.
Mm-hmm.
But, given the opponent and the fact that they had some confidence in Kirk, I think they felt like they could afford to sit Robert for a week and put the other kid in there. But I think this week, you know, they've got two division games coming up. They've got Philadelphia, and then they finish the season here against Dallas. They've got to win them both. It's going to be difficult to make the playoffs as a 9-7 team. They've kind of got to win the division and, you know, be 10-6. So I think you're going to see Robert out there.
All right, but if the Redskins get up on Philly to any degree, would you think Cousins would be brought in?
Possibility? Yeah, sure. I mean, if the game is in hand, in the second half at some point, and they feel like, you know, we've gotten enough out of Robert, we'll save him for the last game of the season against the Cowboys. Yeah, I think that's always going to be a possibility with them. I mean, Kirk has shown he can come in off the bench and play well. There's no reason why he couldn't do it against Sunday if they wanted him to.
Yeah. You know, Griffin really wasn't happy with sitting it out on Sunday, was he? I understand he made mention of it a couple times.
None of the competitors are. You know, everybody wants to be out there, you know. And the other thing is, you know, he's been kind of thrust into the position of being a team leader now. After the season began, they named him an offensive captain. He wasn't one necessarily coming out of training camp. And anybody in that position feels like, you know, the way you lead as much as anything is by showing up for work.
Yeah.
And he felt like he could have gotten around. I watched him move around on the field, go through various drills before the game in Cleveland. And he did move all right. He was wearing a brace on his right knee, but he moved pretty well. He was spinning out and throwing rollout passes and so forth. He didn't look like he was going to be tremendously limited. But again, he's such a valuable commodity that I think erring on the side of caution with him is always a good idea.
Yeah. The Giants, I want to talk about that for a second. Are they back in a funk? Because remember, they went through that period where they weren't playing very well, and we thought they sort of shook that. Then they get whooped 34-0.
Yeah, they're the most indescribable team of the last few years, I think. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get with them. They've gotten hot a couple of times in the postseason and run the table and won the Super Bowl. And then, you know, they have games like last week where they go to Atlanta, a game they've kind of got to win, and they lose 34-0. Hard to figure. I mean, they've had two really, really great games this year. They went out to San Francisco, beat them decisively 26-3. And they came out of their bye week, played the Packers in New York, beat them handily, and the Packers are 10-4 now and looking very good. But, after that, they came to Washington, lost the one-point game, and then now they've gone to Atlanta and lost there. They're in some trouble. They don't have quite as many weapons as they've had in the past, not quite as much depth at running back, not quite as much depth as at receiver. I think they're feeling that a little bit. But, I mean, again, it's just the group psychology there has been hard to figure. You know, sometimes they're world beaters, and other times you just wonder how they've accomplished what they've accomplished as a team.
Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, are you surprised? I mean, it looks like they've come back from the dead as well.
Yeah. I mean, we saw them on Thanksgiving against the Redskins, and clearly they've got some holes. I mean, the Redskins were trouncing them for much of that game. It was 28-3 at the half, and offensively the Redskins were able to do pretty much anything they wanted to do against them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a league that has an overabundance of really, really strong teams. And sometimes when these teams go off on runs like this, like the Cowboys are doing, or even like the Redskins are doing, you know, they hit a patch in their schedule where they're playing some of the weaker teams in the league, and they themselves are healthier than the teams that they're playing. You know, it's such a battle of attrition for these teams over the course of a season, and so much of it depends on when you catch them and who's missing from their lineup and so forth and so on. And the Redskins, until they suffer a couple of bumps on Sunday, have been relatively healthy, especially in the offensive line, which has been a crucial area of the team for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys themselves are fairly healthy. I mean, they haven't suffered too many significant losses during the course of the season. And it really makes all the difference when you get down to week 16, week 17.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, that last game of the season is going to be something. If the Redskins get past the Eagles on Sunday, as expected, and as everyone around here is hopeful of, man, that's going to be something. That's going to be a great game. That'll be playoff quality there.
Oh, sure, sure. And, of course, they'll flex it to a Sunday night game, and that's at least that's what everybody's anticipating.
Yeah.
They haven't announced it yet, but, I mean, for that type of a game, you've just got to put that on national television. I wonder how many times in NFL history two teams have played each other twice in the regular season, and both games have been, on the national stage. Obviously the Thanksgiving Day game.
Yeah.
Was when the Redskins went down there, and now you've got the Sunday night game where everybody's going to be watching, and it might be a case where a loser doesn't get in.
Yeah, that's true. All right, one more thing. RG3 selling more T-shirts, more jerseys rather than anyone already.
Isn't it unbelievable? He's become such a sensation, there's still a couple of weeks left in the season. Who knows how far he's going to push that record?
Hey, it's too bad those.
Obviously, the NFL markets itself very well.
Yeah.
And when they get a shooting star like RG3, they know how to make the most of it. But it's amazing. We watch him here, and we've been pretty impressed with him from the first day. But you wonder what kind of reaction the rest of the country has to this guy. And I think we're seeing it in some of these things like jersey sales. He's really sort of taken the country by storm.
Yeah. And I just noticed, I saw a story a little while ago, London Fletcher's relatives, a few of them got locked up at the game on Sunday. You know anything about that?
Yeah, that's been reported in a number of places. I guess there was an episode with some Brown fans in the stands. I think it's still getting sorted out. I'm not sure exactly what all the details were, but it's really unfortunate that a guy's family can't just go to a game and watch, even if they're not necessarily rooting for the home team.
Yeah.
Had there not be an incident of some kind.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Dan. Well, listen, I probably won't talk to you before the holidays. Have a great Christmas and a happy New Year. And thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Andy. You too.
Take care. Dan Daly, Washington Times sports columnist. It's 4:28, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.